have a revolution. For Babylon, them a keep up corruption. Oh, them a whole lot of jail in a detention. Say them a shoot up Jaja children, it no mention. Said every day we get up and we grumble. Man, every day we get up and we humble. We too soft, we too soft.
Of land is a completely unearned income because that value is completely created by the community as a whole. If the community wasn't there, your land wouldn't have any value.
You Yeah, you want to be left alone, then get out of town.
It's a sacred right to collect the rent.
This is a message brought to you by the mainstream media. Please stay separate, be scared. Do not believe you're all unique and wonderful children of God, because that would ruin the economy.
This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org, where you can find our show archived. It's Free the Land and also Tangerine Dream Team. We work together. Coral's in the studio. She may not be into the mic, though. We went to the Downtown Dialogues meetings, which was about the riot on May Day when windows were broken downtown in Santa Cruz. It wasn't actually a riot. 10 to 20 people used the dance party as a screen to do vandalism. There was a publication that came out before, Beneath the Levee, that expressed some leftist views, anarchism, socialism, not too much, and some local, a lot of local type things about like the spare change meters downtown, where they're instead of the city fathers don't want you giving money to the poor, they want you to put it in a meter so they can give some of it to the poor. Essentially silly things like that, the outrage. And you know, when we went to the Downtown Dialogues, it was, you know, members from without, they were by invitation only, people from the community and different business, mostly leftist to the one we went to, you know, and some regular folks. And some of the issues, one of the issues raised was people were just going, why is this happening? I don't understand this, you know. And you know, I can kind of see why. If they're depending on our local paper here, the Sentinel was there. There was also talk about how the Sub Rosa, an anarchist collective, has been getting death threats. That was mentioned. But then when I read about it in the Sentinel, death threats have been changed to more public scrutiny. As just, you know, no wonder people in Santa Cruz don't understand why those windows were broken. I mean, the people in Santa Cruz are depending on a very poor news source. On the other hand, free radio or indie media covers it. And free radio, we've had for one thing, Beneath the Levee, the corporate media hasn't touched at all. They have no idea about it or anything. I haven't seen it anywhere. Robert Norris picked it up right away. We picked it up right away. It's being covered on free radio. I don't know if anyone's listening here. Coral, do you have any thoughts?
About what?
About the meeting we went to?
Well, I really wasn't prepared to say any thoughts. So, you know, it was kind of a private thing. But people were encouraged to invite other people to come to it, and then they could get what they could get out of it. It was done by the Santa Cruz NBC Nonviolent Communication Center.
Mm-hmm. What did you get out of it?
Oh, just awareness that people are hurting together and that there's a need for be more solid kinds of reaching out, communication, if that's possible, and learning what communication is and defining what terms are so people aren't prejudiced about what they think other people believe.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. That also was brought up the Sub Rosa death threats, and they did touch on gang violence as well. So it covered a broad range of topics there. You know, as I said, we covered this stuff on our show. There are other issues. I don't think they talked about the drum circle very much, but the drum circle's a little, you know, local people, some of them homeless, who play every week at the farmer's market downtown. The farmer's market expanded, so the drum circle had to leave, and they were essentially chased all over town a couple weeks ago from one spot to the other. As soon as, you know, they get the complaints, the police would show up. And as a guest that was on our show a few weeks back, Buffalo, says we're kind of like the Indians, you know, we're always too close, and we're always had to move on. So and their Trail of Tears trek all over town, they eventually ended up on the levee, and there was no complaints there, which is another thing we predicted, that they probably would have to go to the levee at some point. And we'd like to see a free market start there, too. I mean, if the farmer's market's going to kick them out, I mean, why don't we start our own market, a real free market, and, you know, let people get goods at a good price and help out the homeless. What else? Oh, and we also predict on our last show, we predicted that there would be a repeat of some of the Beneath the Levee group, who I believe is responsible for the May Day riot, that they would repeat again because that date was mentioned. And later that night, there was vandalism downtown by people dressed in black and ski masks. The police think it's someone else, but then again, you know, the police, you know, they kind of screwed up. They didn't show up. It was like a half hour before they even showed up. I guess they were afraid of the crowd. So they've asked for more officers, and so that's $1 million are going to be spent that no one knows where it's coming from yet. It was a closed meeting of the downtown merchants that where this was decided. So essentially, the whole of Santa Cruz is going to have to pay for more police to protect the downtown merchants. I mean, shouldn't they be the ones to pay for them? Because, you know, we do have a number of police already. Their time is being squandered by the city council and the downtown merchants for harassing people for singing downtown. Or West Modes is going to be going to trial Friday in Department 2 for walking in a parade downtown. He's actually threatened with jail over this, and he is not allowed a public defender or a jury trial because it is an infraction. So they don't allow those for infractions. It's considered too small a crime. But normally infractions don't carry jail time with them. But this one does because they say he violated his plea bargain over an incident at the Drum Circle where he was trying to protect someone from being arrested by the police back in 2008, I believe. I don't, you know, I just read this on Indian media. I haven't really talked to him about it. So we'll probably be going, at least I'll be going to that trial Friday. But, you know, here is the police are being wasted on these trivial crimes just to protect the downtown merchants while, you know, other real crimes are going on that they're just falling through the cracks. So we're going to have to hire all these. Well, there's actually only 8 policemen. And when you figure it out, you know, 168 hours in a week, 40 hours, it ends up being like 2 more cops on the beat. I guess that's probably the number of cops they had chasing the Drum Circle around on Wednesday. So I guess, you know, they've got Wednesday covered now with the Drum Circle. It's just really silly.
Police department! Police department! Woo!
Yeah. Yeah, you want to be left alone, then get out of town.
It's a sacred right to collect the rent that nobody questions anymore.
Yeah, like at the precinct. You know how we think. Organize the hood under our chain banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And I'm hitting cameras in the street like watching society. With no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life based off the common needs. And all my comrades is ready, we just spreading the seed.
The average black male live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate?
No more bondage, no more political monsters, no more secret space launches. Government departments started it in the projects. Material objects, thousands up in the closets. Could have been invested in the future for my comrades. Battle contacts, primitive weapons out in combat. Many never come back, pretty niggas be running with gas. Rather get shot in they back than fire back. We tired of that, corporations hiring blacks. Denying the facts, exploiting us all over the map. That's why I write the shit I write in my raps. It's documented, I meant it. Every day of the week, I live in it, breathe in it. It's more than just fucking believe in it. I'm holding in ones, rolling up my sleeves and shit. It's C-Lo for push-ups now. Many headed for one conclusion. Niggas ain't ready for revolution.
The average black male live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate? We living in a police state.
Afraid to say it, it's a subliminal tool. Sometimes it's hard to see it. got a job in an office. You got your own room. Got the pen and the paper and a drive to consume. Got the suit pressed in. Got the myth that you'll win. And the race to replace true ambition. You're gonna move up the ladder at the company speed. Gotta learn to dance quick for the company's greed. Gotta justify every step that you can with your eyes closed tight and your head in the sand. You gotta fight the desire to fight the police. You gotta fight your heart and your every belief. You gotta trust the leader, whatever he says, with the flag held high. Yeah, you're already dead. You already gave up if you took their advice, if you played their game. You've paid their price and you're gone, gone, gone. Yeah, there's no coming back unless you realize your potential. Raise your fist and react. If we look to each other and to ourselves and ignore the phony remedies they stock on the shelves, we can undermine the greed on which the system depends in hopes to build a new world based on lovers and friends. We gotta build from the bottom what we want at the top. We gotta work together if we want this to stop. From the thick grassroots to the top of the tree, I aim for peace and justice and anarchy. I want peace and justice and anarchy. I want peace and justice and anarchy. I want peace and justice and anarchy.
This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. And Free the Land also has a new email. If you want to contact us, send us some links for some songs. I'm having trouble finding radical music. Running out of songs. So you're hearing the same ones again. It's overthrowproperty@yahoo.com. Another thing I wanted to say is that this $1 million gift to the police tomorrow, it kind of reminds me of the banker bailout. I mean, the bankers failed at their job, but the government comes in and gives them a whopping load of cash. Gosh, it's too bad I couldn't use that in my job. I could screw up all day long. Let's see. We also have someone who was at the drum circle first day it arrived at its new spot. What name do you want to go by? Instigator?
Oh, Jerry's fine. Instigator.
How was it there? How do you like the new location? You don't normally play there, but...
It was pretty. Everybody seemed to really like it. I'm not sure how the neighborhood will respond in the long term, but in the short term, they let it go till, like, I didn't stay for the whole thing, but till 9 or 10 from 3, 4 in the afternoon on. So that's a good, solid, and it was a good drum circle, too.
Really, this is, like, by SoCal on the levee, right?
Yeah, across the street from CVS, right at the bridge, there's that little patch.
So it's convenient to downtown.
Yeah. And there's a lot of traffic. People would stop by, and the kids would come by and dance and smile and have a good time. And people walking up and down the levee would stop and have a good time and then go on about their business. And it was very calm. The police came by, very polite. There was a little bit of an incident. Had to kickstart Robert Norris to do his cop watch thing. But other than that, they were all very cooperative, and everybody seemed to get along.
Robert Norris is on Sundays and Thursdays on Free Radio for quite a number of hours or so. If you can sit through his shows, he does cover the news pretty well. He seems to be right on it when things happen. He's covering the ACLU being hassled downtown for soliciting donations and in front of Trader Joe's. It's the property manager, not Trader Joe's, is what we hear. Let's see. Okay, I have a little...
I just love the drum circle, and I'd love to be a part of it. And I'd hate to see it go away because it's been a part of this community for so long.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to be left alone, then get out of town.
It's a sacred right to collect the rent. that nobody questions anymore.
And once again, this is Free the Land, and really that's what's behind this, is that the land is being taken from the people, just as it was taken from the Indians, for the wealthy. Santa Cruz used to be a much more liberal place during the internet boom. You know, that is, the rents went up. And that is a Georgian philosophy, that the price of land or rent will always rise to whatever people can afford. So it doesn't matter how well we do, how productive we do, the price of land will rise up to that and capture any excess profits. And that's kind of where Karl Marx got it wrong. It isn't capital versus labor. It's capital and labor versus land holding.
Is Georgian the... Are you referring to the guy that invented Monopoly?
Oh, that was his followers invented it. It's based on his principles, yeah, Henry George. You can find him. He's all over the internet. His book, forget what it was called. It's available. It's out of copyright.
And then Monopoly, whoever Bradley, whoever makes that stuff, Milton Bradley, took out the good stuff, left the Monopoly part, and now it's Monopoly.
It doesn't have as much political anymore. Yeah, well, there you go.
Kind of like Thomas Jefferson being removed from textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
So the one interesting thing about the drum circle to me was the everyone prepared for Exodus effect, and then everything was nice, and they played for hours and hours, no problems at all. And people were kind of shocked because they were ready to move. There were drum sets, there were, mm-hmm. you know, big drums, and they knew from the previous weeks that they were going to be chased around town, and so they were ready to roll, but they didn't have to.
It was like Buffalo was saying about the, you know, the Indians needed to have wheels on them. They had their wheels ready to go. Ready to move. That's another point. I mean, if they do continue to be hassled at a stationary position, you know, they could just move along. I mean, continue to play while they're moving on the sidewalk. And it's kind of like a parade, but if it's, you know, it is legal to walk down the sidewalk and play an instrument. And their usual way of dealing with musicians downtown is to tell them to move on. Mm. They don't tell them to be quiet. I mean, the Huff tried that, you know, we'll play quieter, and they all got tickets. Except for the organ player who's sitting beside me.
Yeah.
There it is, the... instigator and the infractionator, the organ we've named it, infractionator. Mm-hmm. So we did find out there was also a musical meeting too. Musicians Guild has been resurrected by a majority vote. It was a meeting this weekend.
Was that Bubble Dude?
Yeah, it was Tom Noddy. I think he's going to be out of town next week, but I'm not sure when the next meeting is. They're going to be working on it. And some musicians, you see the Musicians Guild, it's active for a while until it achieves its purpose and then goes dormant.
That's what happened in the 90s, as far as I know. I'm not a member, but I was there during the drum thing during the 90s when the only place to play in town was at Its Beach. Nowhere else was okay. And Its Beach was at risk. And Bubble Dude and other figures in the community all got together, had a big meeting, and all of a sudden it was okay to play down. And apparently he's done his bubble magic again because the police were very nice last week.
Well, it's that he brings, because he's internationally famous, he brings international publicity and spotlight on Santa Cruz. And, you know, that's the last thing the city council wants. That's how terrorism works. The city council is essentially using terrorism against the homeless and the poor downtown. And they keep it out of the press as much as possible. Like I said, in the Sentinel didn't mention anything about the death threats to the people in Sub Rosa. That was all quiet. But when it's turned around and someone starts terrorizing them back, like the window crasher, that gets massive publicity and, you know, tries to turn everyone against the whoever was involved. Okay, of course it is property damage. But then again, you know, the homeless have their belongings destroyed out in the wilderness where no one sees, once again, you know, that kind of terrorism where no one sees it. If you watch the movie Gandhi, you'll notice that every time he tried to do something, he made sure the press knew about it. You have to have that public spotlight on that or, you know, you're just going to get crushed. And then again, when you know, you sit downtown, you get a, you know, $200-$400 ticket or whatever. You play music downtown, you sing downtown, you get a $200-$400 ticket.
Well, apparently there are approved forms of cultural expression.
Mm-hmm.
Like I noticed the Mariachi guys were back.
Well, even they, I mean, in the meeting they were talking about that there's even, you know, some of the very popular groups that could get crowds, you got to get harassed by the police.
Really?
So it's, yeah, they just citation for, you know, if you added up all the citations, I don't know. I mean, in a sense,
I would like that data.
In a sense, the window crashers gave a citation to the downtown merchants of $100,000 with $1 million on top in future payments. You know, that's one way of looking at it. Once again, I don't advocate violence, even property destruction.
And neither do I.
It's a political tool. But then again, you know, I've seen it. It's galvanizing the left here. I mean, One musician was saying, yeah, he's reading up on anarchy now. We don't know that anarchists were involved or anything, but, you know, it's, and I'm reading up on anarchy too. I'm, you know, I always thought it was just kind of form of communism or nihilism, but apparently it's a very wide range of political theory.
Oh, yeah, they believe in things. Nihilists don't believe in anything. They believe in nothing.
They love nothing, Lebowski. But that is, you know, that is a, there is some forms of anarchists that are kind of somewhat nihilist, but there is a, you know, a long, and the Beneath the Levee pamphlet did go into a little of the Haymaker riots or uprising.
Well, that's the reason I bring up the nonviolence thing is because I kind of did that night that that you predicted. I heard you on the air. You're saying there's going to be some stuff. So I kind of did physically what you did on the air and just kind of walked around town that night trying to make sure people didn't do anything stupid. I guess I missed the graffiti years, but
well, we were
nothing else happened.
We were expecting a bank because of the, you know, problems being a bank bomb or something, because that's mentioned in the article, but it was vandalism. Which is, you know, more clues to who's involved. Which is, you know, it is like a mystery. People are wondering why, what's going on, who's doing this,
who's doing it, why are they doing it?
Yeah, no one's claimed. I mean, in the end, Beneath the Levee, no one's connected it other than Free Radio Santa Cruz and you know, Curb Hugger, maybe a few other individuals we don't know. But it's not in the media. They're just completely lost. They're blaming on Sub Rosa. I don't think Sub Rosa had anything to do with it.
I heard a good quote from someone, I won't name their name, but we were discussing this particular issue, and they said, no, that's not really, they're more like a street theater thing. They're not into the break things, the Sub Rosa people. I don't know them personally, but that's from my perspective, I could see that being true, because they seem to be more into the, like, 60s style activist, like, educate, let people know what's going on, mm-hmm. instead of go break things and cause more of the oppression.
Yeah, they're, like, philosophical anarchists. They're more about, and anarchy isn't just no government. There's also like social anarchy, which is you know, people controlling their own destiny, you know, a form of democracy, but lesser government. In some ways they're very close to the libertarians and they want lesser government, but as someone said at John Malcolm's lecture a few weeks back, he's like, we're not libertarian. Libertarian want a smaller government, but they want to keep the police and the military. That's the government they envision, and we envision a government with less police and military and more, you know, social benefit to the people. So in some ways they're similar, in some ways they're far. So they're kind of, they straddle in between communism and libertarian. They're the opposite side of the left and the right wing.
Whereas the stuff going on downtown, that's more like TP. It's like toilet papering a house, but more expensive. That to me, that doesn't seem. I mean, I can see it as a political, like 9/11. That was a political act, an act of war.
9/11 was to get the population to be behind the war in the Middle East.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you want to, there was an excellent conference.
Well, we don't want to talk about it. Last time we talked about 9/11, our site got hacked, so we just stick to local issues. Where we're less likely to get assassinated or something. I'll play off the song now.
We'll be right back. alternative methods of distributing our news, our information, our ideas. People uniting worldwide to take a stand.
Dying if they said this on the news, if they would clarify the picture instead of seeking to confuse. You could see the ice caps melting, if you could watch the oceans rise, if you could see the consequences right before your eyes. If you knew the kids were dying, if you could look inside the river where their food comes from, filled with cyanide. If you could hear the parents pleading, if they were looking right at you, if you could see the anguish in their hearts. What if you knew? Bombs are falling, if they showed them hit the ground, if you could see the bodies flying, if you could hear the sound, if you could see the rubble where the hospital once stood, if you saw the child's lifeless limbs, would you hold them if you could? If you knew that they were lying every time they spoke, for every laser-guided pinprick there were lives lost in the smoke, if instead of just the generals they had doctors too to describe the carnage of the cluster bombs, what if you knew? They were saying when they think you cannot hear, if you understood what they do, if for you it was so clear, if you knew they shut down the factory in an economic ruse, if you could kiss the cheek of the child in the sweatshop that made your shoes. Every time we went to war to fight our evil foes, they told you we were really fighting for the good of CEOs. If you could feel the hunger of the many, see the riches of the few, if they told it like it is, what if you knew? You knew that you were living in a huge conspiracy. Would you leave your suburbs, get out of your SUV? Would you hit the streets and fight for all our lives? Would you hold your ground when the stormtroopers arrive? If you knew that the whole planet depended on what you do now, would you take a man with the speed our times allow? If the pundits told the truth for just a week or two and real life was shown on TV, what if you knew?
Hello, I am Sherilyn Wood Stalling. I have a passion for bees, and I am deeply concerned for humanity because our bees are disappearing worldwide. What if in the mid-1990s, super pesticides were introduced to the world? What if these super pesticides caused four scary symptoms to nearly all bugs? These symptoms are a weakened immune system, bizarre or disoriented behavior, a loss of memory, and a loss of appetite, or possibly a destroyed digestive system. What if these super pesticides penetrate the entire plant, the roots, the stems, the leaves, the flowers, and anything the flowers produce, seeds, nuts, grains, vegetables, and fruits? What if we cannot wash off these super pesticides? They are in the foods that we eat. They are not something you can get rid of. What if our government has done no collective test to see the effects of all these foods that they are having on our bodies, on our children, and on our elderly. It is no longer what if. It is becoming now. In the mid-1990s, Bayer Crop Science, yes, the same company that gave us aspirin, introduced a nicotine-derived group of chemical pesticides called neonicotinoids. Let's shorten the name to neonics. Neonics kill all sorts of bugs. These perfect pesticides, neonics, kill the bugs by causing a loss of memory, a weakened immune system, a loss of appetite, or more possibly a rotted digestive system, and bizarre or disoriented behavior. American entomologists have called the phenomena of the disappearance of the bees colony collapse disorder, because there is no evidence the bees are dying from disease. With the exception of the queen bee, the baby larva, and a few nurse bees, the entire hive just flies away, never.
There are places where there are hills. They're not just called hills, they're really hills. There are places where there are forests, not like 12 pines, but really forests. There are places where the birds sing. You can hear the eagle call. I know they're out there, somewhere beyond them all. Where there are rivers, not surrounded by concrete, but living rivers with fish in them and frogs and little tadpoles, with ducks and deer drinking by the sinkholes. There are places far away, the trees turn colors in the fall. I know they're out there, somewhere beyond them all. You can see the sky, not neon signs and billboards, but just the sky. There are places where dirt on the ground, without miles of asphalt, not a car around. Where on and in the soil, good little critters crawl. I know they're out there, somewhere beyond them all. Things don't have to be like this. I mean, not just cosmetic changes. Things really don't have to be like this. There are places where people know their neighborhood, where people live there, and they think that life is good. There are places like that, somewhere on this spinning ball. I know they're out there, somewhere beyond them all. I've gotta find, otherwise I will undoubtedly lose my mind. Otherwise I'll end up just like you on Ritalin or Prozac or whatever things you do. I'm going where the water is blue and the trees are oh so tall. I know they're out there, somewhere beyond them all.
Here's something I bet you haven't thought of. You know that whole shouting match about global warming?
Yeah, and I'm sick of it!
What's with the hat and smoke?
I'll be playing devil's advocate. Lay off, it's the best I could do for horns and brimstone.
Okay. I know it seems like such a noisy mess that it's easy to tune out, but here's a thought for you. While we debate whether humans can really change the climate or not, we are at the same time running the experiment. The kicker is, no matter what the outcome of the experiment, we're in the test tube. So it seems pretty clear that we better get to the bottom of the controversy as quickly as possible.
But how do you know which side to believe?
What if I told you I've got a way to look at it where you don't need to believe anyone, but you can still decide with confidence what we should do?
What are you smoking? That sounds impossible.
Yeah, I thought so too. So I put it out there in a video, and after being critiqued by thousands of people, I think I've now got a conclusion that is pretty much undeniable.
We'll just see about that.
So here's the reasoning in a nutshell. If you want more detail, watch for the index at the end of the video.
First off, no one's perfect. So every choice you make brings with it a risk if that choice turns out to be a mistake. Given that, which risk would you rather take? Listen to the activists and take big action now, risking the possible harm to the economy that the skeptics warn us about, or listen to the skeptics and don't take big action now, risking the possible destruction and upheaval that the activists warn us about. Bottom line is, which is the more acceptable risk? The risk of taking action or the risk of not taking action?
Ah, geez, when you put it that way.
Hey, don't just accept what I say. I'm just some guy. Think it through for yourself.
Okay. Wait a minute. Global warming isn't caused by humans in the first place. I've seen lots of evidence for that. So you're presenting a false choice.
Are you infallible?
No.
Could you be wrong?
Yes.
So the question, which is the more acceptable risk, still applies, doesn't it?
Fine, but it's still a loaded question.
Well, take a look at where the question came from and see if you agree that it's a valid one.
If you need to make a decision when things are unclear, like we do with global warming, it's often useful to look at the different possibilities for the future. The first possibility is whether human-caused global warming turned out to be true or not. So let's put F for the future where it turns out to be false and T for it turns out to be true. The other possibility is what action we end up taking. Let's make column A yes for significant action and column B no for little to no significant action. So that gives us four boxes that spell out four different basic futures. What might each of these futures look like? First is the future where we did take action and global warming turned out not to be real after all. Let's take the most pessimistic view there and say all we get is a bunch of economic harm and zero positive benefits. How about this box? We didn't take action and we didn't need to. Everybody celebrates. The skeptics because they were right, and the activists because it wasn't the end of the world after all. How about this box? We took action and it was a good thing too because the doomsayers were right. We've still got the economic costs, but everyone's okay with that because we saved our cookies. Now, how about this box down here? We didn't take action, but the doomsayers turned out to be right. Well, if we took the most pessimistic view up here, we should do the same thing down here. And this, you've heard before. We have environmental, political, social, public health, and economic disasters on a global scale, a disaster scenario. Now, obviously, this is grossly simplified. The smiley faces give that away. But we can say that the future will fall roughly into one of these four boxes. Most of the shouting match is about trying to predict which row the future will fall into, which we can't know for certain until we actually get there. But what we can know, because we control it, is which column the future will not fall into. Because by taking action or not, we are choosing a column, and that eliminates the risk in the other column. So it's a bit like buying a lottery ticket. We choose ticket A or ticket B, and then wait to see what the laws of physics dish out as our result. One way or the other, we're taking a risk. So which risk is more acceptable? The risk of taking action or the risk of not taking action? Hey, that sounds good, but the logic is bogus. Wouldn't that grid argue for action against any possible threat, no matter how costly the action or how ridiculous the threat? Even giant mutant space hamsters? Because it's better to go broke building a bunch of rodent traps than to even risk the possibility of being hamster chow, right? So this grid is useless.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Huh?
The grid by itself isn't a silver bullet, but what it does do is it allows us to make a decision using uncertain knowledge by changing the question from, are humans affecting the climate, to the real question, what's the wisest thing to do given the uncertainties and the risks? Really, it's just basic risk management. So to get around your hamster argument, we need to get a sense of how likely each row is.
Why can't we just wait till the science is finished and then we'll know what to do?
Well, for one thing, that doesn't avoid risk because that's the same as just choosing column B, which is where we sit right now. And for another thing, science is never finished. We're still studying the law of gravity, for Pete's sake. As a science teacher, I can tell you that science, that most precise and geeky of all human endeavors, is surprisingly never certain. Every single scientific statement carries with it some sort of estimate of how big the uncertainty is, which is part of why there will almost always be some disagreement on any scientific issue.
So where does that leave us if anything any scientist says is accompanied by a sort of, yeah, but I could be wrong?
The trick is to not look at what individual scientists are saying, but instead look at what the professional organizations are saying. The more prestigious they are, the more weight you can give their statements, because they've got huge reputations to uphold and don't want to ever say something that later makes them look foolish. Probably the two most well-respected of these in the world are NAS and AAAS. These are not advocacy groups, but both recently issued unprecedented statements calling for big action now on global warming. This isn't a bunch of hippies. These are the nerdiest people on the planet.
So trust the eggheads, huh?
Basically, you're saying, if AAAS and NAS said so, who the heck are you to argue?
No. Well, sort of. I mean, who else are you going to believe on a scientific issue? But remember, you still don't have to believe them. You're just using the fact that two such stodgy institutions stake their reputations on this to get a sense that this row must be way more likely than this row, pushing this line up. And companies such as this are even calling for emissions caps on their own industries, pushing this line up even further. Now the conclusion is clear, because we've got our own solid reasons to believe that this must be a much more threatening risk than this, not only in likelihood, but in damage as well.
Okay, I can see that. But if the statements from those groups are such a slam dunk, how can we still hear so much debate? Well, there is a handful of dissenting scientists, like there always is, and a media that knows that controversy sells. But I found a couple polls that suggest it's the lack of absolute certainty that's holding people back, which is a little odd to me. We buy car insurance without being certain that we'll get into an accident, because we want to make sure that if it does happen, we don't end up broke. And during World War II, just the possibility that Hitler was developing an atomic bomb was enough of a threat to justify all-out action. If you were a voter back then, and it was public knowledge, would you have insisted that every scientist interviewed thought such a bomb was possible before supporting the Manhattan Project? Would you have held out until you understood the physics? No. So why are Joe Schmoes like you and me still debating the finer points of climate science instead of talking about risk management?
Well, there's a gajillion causes out there already screaming for my time and money. Save the planet and stuff.
Look, it's not the planet that I care about. It'll do fine on its own. What I care about is saving our bacon. And I understand how overwhelming it is when you hear cries about save the whales, or the rainforests, or the children, or air pollution, water pollution, light pollution, toxic waste, nuclear waste, government waste, corporate waste, peak oil, snake oil, flag burning, wiretapping, gay marrying, immigrating, Anwar, gun rights, human rights, water rights, right to life, abortion rights. Where do you start? Let me suggest a way to prioritize. All of these... peanuts, if the worst of this comes to happen.
Ooh, way to go, Mr. Smarty Pants. You just managed to tick off pretty much everybody. How come your pet crusade trumps everyone else's?
Because, even though it's not likely, if the worst of global warming does happen, we'll be so busy dealing with the fallout that most all other human concerns may seem like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. I mean, who's really going to care if some protester wants to burn the flag on the courthouse lawn when the whole city's flooded?
But why the hysteria? What's the big deal about a degree or two?
Yeah, it turns out it's not the warming that gets you. It's the way that such a quick change throws a monkey wrench in the whole system. That's why global warming is a misleading name, and global climate change is only a little better. Really, what we're talking about is global climate destabilization. And it gets worse because in just the last 5 years, we've learned that this may happen very abruptly, like within the span of a decade. So it may turn out to be like pushing on a light switch. Small pushes in the past have produced small results, until you hit an unexpected tipping point.
Man, we're totally hosed. We're going back to the Dark Ages, aren't we?
Disturbing, isn't it? Actually, there's a lot of reason to believe that we can fix this, maybe even without reducing our standard of living, if we're quick about it.
But what do I do? I'm just one guy, with a stupid hat.
What you do is spread the word. Because the only way we really get into column A is by policy changes. And those only happen when enough people demand it. So we need nothing less than a change in the culture itself, and you can help make that happen. So you forward this video to others, and they forward it to 10, and so on. In just 4 steps, that's over 10,000 people that may have their opinions influenced. That's power. Use it. This is likely to be the greatest threat that humanity has ever faced. Think that's overblown? Maybe. But can you be so certain that you're willing to bet everything? Because we only get to run this experiment once. Hopefully this idea of risk management will be what ends the debate. How the world ends up? Well, that depends in part on you and what you do next. We have greatness within us. Innovative, giving, determined. It's time for the best in us to come out.
This is Free the Land on Free Radio, 101.1 FM. The video you just heard was called The Most Terrifying Video You'll Ever See. It's on YouTube if you wanted to pass that along to anyone else.
Come on.
Catch people, add your name. Don't break the cycle, pass it along by word of mouth. Save the world, don't leave the house, because a virtual office in a virtual home means you never have to drive through the wrong part of town. Pass it along by word of mouth. Save the world, don't leave the house.
Pass it along.
Don't leave the house.
Pass it along.
Don't leave. Security gates. Shut out the world, it's getting worse. Save yourself, don't leave the house, because a happy future is a thing of the past, and there's always another repeat. Shut out the world, it's getting worse. Save yourself, don't leave the house.
Pass it along.
Don't leave the house.
Pass it along.
This has been Free the Land, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. You can reach us at email at overthrowproperty@yahoo.com.